Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
In other news, the Prime Minister of Sweden visited Washington today, and my tiny little nipples went to France.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
You might have noticed I've got a slight weight problem.
No. Yeah, I do.
I went to this doctor. He told me I swallowed a lot of aggression along with a lot of pizzas. Pizzas.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
I want to party with you,
pal. If the two of us together, forget it.
The Fan.
There must be some kind of
way. Hey, let's do this final hour. Dirt and Sprague on a Monday. Thanks for being with us. Portland sports leader 1080 The Fan.
Welcome to the final hour, 2:07 p.m.
Come on in, baby. God, Russ, would you do your job? Do your job over there, Rust.
I'm sorry, I'm lost. What's happening? I missed it.
Nothing. It's actually great to not have somebody yell at me.
That was kind of the perfect response to what he was just saying.
2:07, yeah. Hey, yeah. We're a little late. That's breaking like 5 minutes, huh, guys?
Yeah.
Also, I love the encouragement at the fan text line.
Encouragement.
Can you just scrap Lakers Heat talk and just keep arguing NFL rules for an hour?
Oh, somebody said that? They want us to scrap it?
Yeah.
I also enjoyed the people who chimed in and said, great NBA segment, dirt way to derail Sprague's wet dream. You do that to me with baseball all the time. I do. The NBA Finals, though, we do know the matchup officially.
Yes, we do.
Miami beat Boston yesterday, 125-113, your final. Hey, did you guys know, I don't know if anybody's pointed this out before. This is probably the first time you're going to hear it, and it's a very unique take. Did you know that the Blazers could have drafted Bam Adebayo instead of Zach Collins?
I've not heard that
once. Have you heard that one before?
I've not heard that once.
See, I don't know if anybody's pointed that out, but I think it should be after he goes for 32 points and 14 rebounds and 5 assists. 11 of 15 from the floor, knocked down almost all of his free throws, and was the MVP of a clinching game in the Eastern Conference Finals.
God help us.
Somebody needs to bring that up. We could have had him.
I've not heard that, like, after every Heat game.
God help us. Do you guys watch that and get sad, though?
Yes,
I mean,
in
all seriousness, I know everybody's made that point, and I've
like
also made that point.
Sarah McLachlan's playing in my head.
But I watched last night, and
I'm an angel.
Yet again, another moment of... What was the difference? He's playing a position we needed or we wanted.
32-14 and 5.
One guy, you know, played really well at Kentucky. The other guy couldn't start on Gonzaga.
Yeah.
One's built, like physically built as a grown man for the NBA. The other one's a 19, 20-year-old guy still kind of coming into his own physically.
Anywho, on a brighter note,
let's not relive a nightmare. Why do we need to do that to ourselves?
Look, you can't outthink the room if you go with the obvious.
Hold this against me, okay? In case Portland ends up winning the championship with Dame.
Okay.
And I will have no problem this being one of many wrong takes about the Neil O'Shea Portland Trailblazer Damian Lillard era, especially if it results in a championship. I'm kind of to a point mentally. I think the 17 draft is going to be the moment we look back if this doesn't end with Dame hoisting a trophy and we go, that was it. Your decision to trade two picks to trade up and get Zach over not wanting Bam. I'm not going to be stunned if that ends up being what it is. We look back and unfortunately we didn't get there. And I was hypothetical. Again, I hope to be wrong on this. I'd love nothing more than somebody to tweet me like, hey, good call, Sprague. Okay, cool. If it means Dame won a title, I'm as happy as a clam. That being said, every time I watch that guy play, every time I watch Miami play, I go, God, I hope this doesn't become the thing. When we look back and we go, it was a 17 draft.
That was it.
We wanted Zach Collins. We didn't want Bam. We traded two picks for Zach. You know, I hope to be wrong on that. But every time I watch him play now, that thought creeps into my mind. And I'm just being totally honest about that. Can't help it. We'll never probably get rid of it until we overcome that large shadow looming of not having a title since 77. And until then, I'm probably always going to think about that.
Just to list four guys, by the way, from that draft.
Let's not do this again.
That you could have had.
Let's not do that again.
Because
some of those guys, yeah, okay.
Sure, I get it. Donovan Mitchell went right after
that.
We
already had two guards. I understand the reasoning. Kyle Kuzma.
John Collins, who had averaged 21 and 10 this year.
Sure.
21 and 10. Pretty good for a positional need, too.
Collins and Bam are the biggest ones. Mitchell, you understand, because you had Dame CJ, so you don't want to go another 6'3 guard there. But
I get it. Kuzma's more of a wing, so I don't quite listen to that argument. But
Kuzma, even the Kuzma thing, he's playing with the best player in the world who's made nothing but every teammate better, and I still don't think he's really all that good.
The biggest one that hurts are the guys that you drafted a big guy. You needed a big guy. You drafted a big guy, and there's two guys that went after him that are exponentially better, and it's not even close. There's a galaxy between John Collins and Zach Collins, and there's an even farther galaxy between Bam Adebayo, who was great on Sunday again as his Heat are going to the NBA Finals, and Zach Collins. Where do we put Miami's chances of winning this series? I know you're higher on Miami than a lot of folks.
Yes.
I think you probably like them a lot, but the overwhelming favorite in Vegas is the Los Angeles Lakers.
And I totally get it. It's LeBron. It's AD. You're going to bet against those two. It's an unsettling feeling. I just think Miami's the better team. I think they're going to win.
You think they're the better team, huh?
Yeah, I don't dismiss the articles and the things written that this has a. I'm probably going to end up watching the Lakers sweep. So let me just say this before to get my wrong take out. Uh-huh. I won't be stunned if this is a Detroit LA 2.0.
Oh.
Better team, quickly dismissed, was not given a shot.
Right.
But they play really well defensively. They are never out of a game. They really remind me. Obviously, they're a better version. They're the Nuggets. The Lakers are going to get a better version of what the Nuggets were. A complete team. They have full contributors, and they're never out of a game. Now, does that mean the Lakers sweep or win in five? It's very possible, but there's something about the way Miami plays. Spoelstra's been around LeBron. I think he is now finally getting respect, which is obscene to me. I thought he proved his worth when he was the Heat coach, but because you have multiple stars, the coach never gets credit for that. Except if you're Doc Rivers, then it's Doc Rivers is an amazing coach.
Hey, he's won a championship. Don't you know that?
So I like Miami. I really do. And we could see LeBron hoist number four and the Lakers get another championship, and we're not going to care or want to see it. But, I like Miami's odds. I don't know why we dismiss Miami. They played really well. Nobody gave him a shot against Milwaukee. They took care of them pretty easily. And, you know, I know it went to six. I wasn't stunned to see that. In fact, I think I predicted that. But I just think that their mental makeup gives them a really good shot to win this championship.
If you like Miami to win it, like Sprague, you can get him at plus 290 to win the series. The Lakers overwhelming favorite at a minus 360 favorite. It all begins on Wednesday.
Plus 290, not as high as I thought that would be.
Not quite as high. Yeah, it's not a huge, huge, huge underdog, but a decent gap
right
there.
I'd like to see what Detroit LA was when they beat the Karl Malone, Gary Payton, old Laker team, because
yeah,
I feel
be
like
that,
those odds were a little bigger for Detroit to win than it is against this Laker team.
Yeah, and the last note on this, too, I tweeted it this weekend, but it needs to be brought up again. He is a douche. The complaining about officiating can be insufferable. I rooted for him when he was in Cleveland because I thought it was a cool story. Hated him when he was in Miami, and now I hate him again because he's a Laker, and I will always hate the Lakers no matter what happens. Going to your 10th NBA Finals, I don't even know if how that's not getting more respect. He has now gone to 9 of the last 10 NBA Finals. After 8 in a row, they took a year off last year. Now he's back in the NBA Finals going through the West. Of course, had the one early with the Cavs when I think they got swept by San Antonio. But 10 NBA Finals, there's only, I think I saw the graphic, there's only like three NBA teams that have more NBA Finals than LeBron James. And it's like Boston, LA, and Golden State, who now has 11 because they went to like 5 in a row.
Yeah.
Those are the only entities in the NBA that have more Finals appearances than him. It is fairly remarkable, and he has a chance to become the first player in NBA history to Robert Horry's won one with three different teams, but to be an NBA Finals MVP on three different teams, it's never been done before.
Yeah, I don't know if he might get it because he's LeBron and the name recognition. Mm-hmm. I think AD, if AD has a big series, he's going to prove to be the MVP in the finals. That being said, I mean, there's not really much to add.
10, it'd be 10.
I compare it to this. At this point, the Jordan LeBron stuff, because of course it has to get brought up every time LeBron goes back to a championship, right?
That was the first tweet I got Saturday. I said, this is remarkable. The first response was, and he's only won three of them.
Exactly, yeah. That argument is, it's so tired. At this point, that argument is so pointless, I would equate it to the people who think there's actually human beings that are still deciding if they vote for Trump or Biden. They don't exist. Right. Breaking news.
Right.
Everybody knows who they're voting for. The debate will do nothing to solve either of those issues. Everybody's dug in on that. It's the exact same thing. You will never convince a Jordan stan that LeBron is better, and you will never convince a LeBron fan that Jordan's better. I like to have the conversation if somebody is actually being open-minded and honest, but that doesn't exist either. That being said, he is the GOAT. There you go.
Oh, wow. That'll piss everybody off.
Why should it piss you off? You could just call me an idiot and not agree with the opinion, but I mean, you just listed it off. He's in year 17. He's got 14,000 more minutes than Michael Jordan. He didn't have to take a two-year break. He didn't have to take another two-year break. He played all the way through 17 years. He's the most villainized, criticized athlete maybe of all time in the sports realm, not in the overall worldview. That is Muhammad Ali, obviously. And he always wins. Go Jordan because he's
not
got six.
Not the championship, though. He's 3-9 in the final, Sprague.
Context doesn't matter. You're right.
Yeah,
I think he's been a favorite 3 of the 10.
How many has he won? Oh. That did sink into me, though, when they won. Like, I expected the Lakers to win that series. It would have been awesome to see Denver go. It was a cool underdog story, and at least you get it on the East, because Miami was the 5 seed in the Eastern Conference, and that I love that about the NBA, because it's not often you see a 5 seed go to the NBA Finals.
Doc just got fired.
Doc Rivers?
Yeah, he's out.
Oh, wow.
Woj bomb.
Woj bomb. How about that Woj bomb to end an NBA segment?
Are we shocked, though? Somebody had to be the sacrificial lamb of that collapse. It wasn't going to be Paul George.
Yeah, where do you go?
Yeah, I don't know. Who do you hire? You go Van Gundy?
Bring Van Gundy out of the TV booth?
Hey, really? Well, I mean,
could you try and entice Popovich away to finish off in L.A.?
That might be the thinking. But the Kawhi thing.
Coach Bomb.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's true. The Kawhi thing. Touche. Yeah, but that, not a great relationship there.
Kawhi did console Greg Popovich when he lost his wife. Huh. So maybe that relationship is okay.
Okay. Well, there you go. There's your NBA segment. LeBron, 10 NBA Finals appearances. I find that remarkable.
Who are you picking?
I'm picking the Lakers. I have doubted Miami the entire way, so I'm going to continue to do it. But I am rooting like hell for Miami to win the NBA Finals, because anybody but L.A. And I think Jimmy Butler winning one would be a lot of fun. And then we also
winning one would be great.
And then we get to make fun of Myers Leonard for posting pictures with the trophy when he did nothing to accomplish winning said trophy.
He's cheering those guys on, man.
Did you
man.
See his tweet last night?
I didn't see that.
Blast you at the Eastern Conference Finals trophy, a Coors Light. I'm happy for him, though. I'm happy for Myers.
The pride of Portland. Go get him, Eric Spoelstra. I think that would be a great story.
Yeah, Jimmy Butler showed up today in a UP Portland Pilots Eric Spoelstra jersey, which was pretty cool. So there you go. And Doc Rivers just got fired. So how about that NBA bomb? There's your NBA segment. NBA Finals officially begins Miami and L.A. on Wednesday. We'll get into Monday Night Football here in a moment, because it's a big one. Baltimore and Kansas City.
Oh, I hope this game lives up to the hype.
I'm taking a gambling angle tonight that I'm actually pretty proud of, and I'll tell you what that is. But before we do, I do want to ask one quick baseball question, because the season wrapped up and the postseason officially begins tomorrow. A quick baseball question, we'll get to Monday Night Football back after this on The Fan.
You can't always get what you want, but if you try sometimes, well, you might find.
This is Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
I'm getting to Monday Night Football here in a little bit. If you're just joining us, Doc Rivers got fired today. We'll see where the Clippers go.
Well, they said out. I don't know if that means fired.
Well, yeah.
Woj is pretty specific with his wording there.
He is no longer the head coach of the Clippers.
This is one of those, he was fired, but they let... It's a Billy Donovan thing. It's like, we're going to go somewhere else, but we'll allow you to act like you're also leaving voluntarily.
It's remarkable to think where Doc Rivers' career would have gone if the Celtics didn't have the first super team back about 10, 12 years ago. Because he was going to get fired in
Alvin
Boston.
Gentry, is that harsh?
No, I mean, I don't think it is. He was gone in Boston, and then they went out in one offseason and added Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen to pair with Pierce and Rondo, and they won a championship, got to another, and he skyrocketed into coaching lore.
Would you say like Scotty Brooks type level, like good coach, but like not your favorite?
Yeah, he's a good coach. There's no doubt. I love his personality for the most part. His interviews he did this year in the bubble were great, but you put together a team to win a championship, and you blow a 3-1 lead in the second round at Denver? And I don't mean that in a disrespectful tone to Denver, but the Clippers had no business losing that series, man. That should be a fireable offense, or at least parting away's offense, and good for the Clippers for moving on.
We're also doing that thing where we need to confirm Adrian Wojnarowski still.
I can confirm. I talked to my sources.
Sources have confirmed, indeed. Yeah, my sources who didn't contact me first, nor did they text me.
Yeah.
I reached out to my sources. My sources have confirmed the most prominent sports reporter in the world.
Yeah, we can confirm it. Our show, Dirt and Sprague, officially at 2:25 on Monday. Can confirm. Doc Rivers, out.
I might tweet that with the show page right now. Sources have confirmed.
Let the people know,
Doc,
man.
Doc Rivers is out.
We're established, okay? We got connections.
Now, what do you
we
do?
We know people.
Do you go?
We hit up Crawford, text him. Hey, is he gone? Yeah, he's gone.
First reported by Woj, or do we just not do that at all?
Hat tip, Woj. Woj had it first. Oh, God.
Can people start calling these reporters out?
That's so dumb. I hate that people do that.
Do you think you're getting credit for this? Is it part? Do you have to, as part of your job, like confirm, or can you just retweet and then maybe get some context behind the backstory of what led him to leave?
Makes no sense, man. Can I wedge in a quick baseball question here before we go to Monday Night Football?
Yeah, I have a bit of conundrum in baseball as well.
Okay, well, the Major League Baseball season, for those of you just waking up from a 3-month slumber, it just ended yesterday. At least the regular season ended yesterday. And we're heading to the postseason, which begins tomorrow. There will be 8 Major League postseason games on Wednesday and an NBA Finals game. Wrap your brain around that one.
Oof, Wednesday's going to be fun.
Also, I believe if Dallas wins tonight, I think Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final would be on Wednesday, too. Holy S. no, but they this is an experiment. They obviously only played 60 games. I just wanted to ask people, 503-250-1080, do you like the expanded playoffs?
Well, I mean, it hasn't played yet.
I know. I'm just saying, did you like the way it built into the regular season, the way that it played out, having more teams with a chance to make it? Because I've seen differing takes. I know what my thoughts are, but I'll ask yours. There were multiple teams that made it with a below 500 record. They were the Milwaukee Brewers, who were 29-31. They backed their way in because my Giants couldn't win this weekend. And then the Astros were 29-31. So you have two teams below 500 that made the playoffs this year. Do we like having eight in? Did it bring juice to the regular season for you?
I think the tough thing with that is your regular season was diminished so much. Mm-hmm. If you expanded to eight in a normal 162 season, yeah, I think there's an argument to be made. You pointed this out with John Sucanic. I thought it was a good point. Whether you love or hate having half your league in the postseason, and there's an argument to be made for that. The NBA doesn't do well in the first round with ratings, right? Most people don't care. The difference is baseball and the unpredictability of it and how random champions happen from time to time. Mm-hmm. I think your point to John was spot on. You are giving and opening up so much more interest from a start to finish standpoint that Mariner fan in 162 games, unless you are a John Sucanic-like fan,
you're not watching the last
you
two
stop
months.
Caring in July.
Yeah.
And I maybe even June.
Yeah.
But because you only had 60, you get teams like Seattle to surprise everybody, and it come down kind of to the wire. Your Giants, a good example of this, too. Yeah. Many thought they'd be the worst team in baseball. It's over. It's a collapse. They're total rebuild. And they're fighting to the very end to get one of those final playoff spots. I always think that's the most important thing is how can you make all the fans feel like they should care about your league? And while the NBA largely does a poor job because they kind of promote super team creation, they emphasize bigger media markets in terms of television, mm-hmm. you know, show out like your primetime games. I think what they do well is at least if you like basketball, you can follow it. You can be a Nets fan. And as funny as that sounds here in Portland, they are real. They might follow the whole year because they think, oh, we'll just be in the playoffs, right? Good playoff team. Yeah. That leaves people interested. So I think from that standpoint, I thought that was a good point you made of fan bases will care a lot longer if you have more teams involved. If you go back to what it was, you get a lot of those crappy teams that came down to the wire. Their fans will stop caring 3 months before the year's over.
Well, I think because baseball needs a jolt. I don't disagree with that. I go about finding it in different ways than most people. Like you've seen rule changes. You want the runner on second to start the 10th inning, which is dumb. It's not baseball. the three pitcher minimum, the three batter minimum rule for relief pitchers, like that kind of, those are the ideas that Major League Baseball comes up with, thinking that that's going to garner more support. Like, people are sitting around in the middle of the July saying, let's turn on Oakland and Texas because there's a runner on second to start the 10th inning. Like, that's not going to get more eyeballs on your sport. It'll just save you from once or twice playing a game that goes 16 innings, probably. I think the point that I was trying to make, and I'm glad you saw it, because I did want to bring that up today. I think you need to rope in more fans for a longer amount of time. And that's where I love having the expanded playoff. I get the argument. You don't want your 7-9 NFL team to make it, but how often does that happen? And maybe if you play 162 games this year, the Brewers don't end up below 500 and the Astros don't end up below 500 and everybody might be above. And then are we really complaining about it? I think the issue with the NBA's big playoffs isn't necessarily the amount of teams that make it. It's that the rounds go on too long. Is that you play a 7-game series in the first round when in reality that's not necessary. And that's what I love about this format is you're going 3 games. First round's over like that, 2 out of 3. And all 3 of them, by the way, are at the higher seeded stadium. So if you didn't get a higher seed, there's your incentive right there to have a better year. You get a higher seed, you get to host all 3 games at your ballpark. But I was thinking about this last night. How many Major League Baseball markets, because I can only think of, I believe, 3, or I guess 4. How many Major League Baseball markets are not NFL markets? So I thought
St. Louis.
St. Louis, Oakland.
San Diego.
San Diego and Toronto.
Yeah.
Am I missing anybody? I guess you can count Anaheim, but it's close to L.A. And they
no,
got
that's NFL. L.A.
Yeah. Am I missing anybody?
Toronto.
Named Toronto.
Okay, yeah. Toronto. Yeah, that's
it. So that's all you got. And the point that I was thinking when I thought about that is, if you have a team that doesn't have a chance to make the playoffs and your NFL team's beginning in September,
you're not watching. Yeah, you'll zoom.
Ask Mariner fan. If they don't have a chance to make the playoffs and the Seahawks are starting,
mm-hmm.
what are you gonna, Giants fans and the Niners are beginning at the beginning of September, like, you're going to unplug from the rest of the baseball season. But if you give them a chance to make it, I think mostly the cream will rise to the top in the postseason. But
did you like this before the year, and did it sway you if you didn't?
I liked
you
it.
You want this now?
I liked it in a one-off year as an experiment, just to see how does this work. You're playing 60 games, and I loved it, because if it was a normal playoff run, I would have unplugged from the Giants a month ago.
Sure.
Because they were a 500 team, and in a normal playoff year that's not getting you in, they would have probably finished, you know, 3, 4, 5 games out of a chance to make a wild card spot, not really sniffing it.
What happened between them and the Brewers, just out of curiosity?
Well, the Brewers have the tiebreaker. I believe it was division. I can't remember what exactly.
Because you got 4
was,
in the Central, but I just noticed the records were the same, so I didn't know if that was just a tiebreaker.
There was
between
a tiebreaker
or,
scenario. Yeah. I can't remember exactly what it was, but I don't know. You can let us know your thoughts. I'm a big fan of it. I get some people don't like it, but the expanded playoff I thought was a big success, and I'd like to see Major League Baseball continue it going forward. And it officially begins tomorrow morning.
It does. 11 a.m. ABC, baby.
11 a.m. on ABC. The MLB postseason begins. The fun sports calendar only continues.
By the way, the last ABC Major League Baseball game was the World Series in 1995.
Is that apparently, when they lost
apparently
the deal?
They split duties with NBC that year.
Interesting.
Who was on the call for that?
They used to split? I don't remember that at all. NBC and ABC split the World Series.
That's what it said. I'm believing the internet.
Well, I just watched the Braves beat Cleveland. I have that on VHS.
Did you? Yeah.
And I just watched that at the beginning of COVID.
Pop it into the old VHS
player.
That
was an NBC game, and I was like, oh, yeah.
NBC, man. That's wild. There you go, some hot baseball talk. All right, let's get to Monday Night Football. It's going to be a big one. Baltimore and Kansas City. Who you like? Which way are you gambling? We'll get to that next. But first, here's Russ with SportsCenter.
This is Dirt and Sprague, gone 1080, The Fan.
Welcome back in. It's the poll questions here in a little bit. Monday Night Football tonight, though.
Oh, we've been waiting for this one.
Is it the game of the century?
Well, I don't know if it's going to live up to that Rams-Chiefs game we had 2 years ago, but I'm hoping it does. I got to pressure wash a garage when I get home.
You better get it done by 5:15.
God, I'm not looking forward to that at all. I'm going to need this game to be good.
Go turn and burn, get that done, sit down on the couch. Kansas City, Baltimore tonight. If you're wondering the gambling angle on it, Kansas City is a 3.5-point underdog currently. So Baltimore, the favorite. It is in Baltimore. You usually get about 3 points for being the home team. So obviously they're a slight favorite for the Baltimore Ravens. I have decided, I don't know how you guys feel about this, I don't dislike either of these teams.
Okay.
I am just wanting a game that is great, that lives up to the hype. And I've gone back and forth. I think I initially liked Baltimore, and I probably still do like Baltimore. But I don't want to give myself a gambling angle because then I'm going to end up rooting against one of the teams as the game goes on. And I don't want to put myself in that position. So I have decided the only bet I'm going to place, and it has already been placed.
Oh.
I'm hammering the over.
Oh, they're going to go over?
Because I want nothing but points. I want that Rams Chiefs game from a couple of years ago on Monday Night Football. The over, by the way, I think when I locked it in, it might have gone up a hair.
54 and
it's
a half.
It's 54 and a half. I think I got it at 54.
Yeah.
I mean, one of them is going to score that, isn't there?
Right. Like, what about
we say that and then
we do.
And then a defense steps up, right? Like, Baltimore's defense is filthy.
Good. They got a good defense.
And Kansas City's defense is capable of winning a Super Bowl because we saw it last year.
We,
so
we did.
But I mean, I would be surprised though if both teams aren't in the 30s.
I would too. Hence, hammer the over.
No,
I want to sit there, enjoy the game, and just root for points. Every time there's a touchdown, I want to be happy.
I was kicking myself watching Dallas Seattle because there was one thing I truly believed in Dallas covering a 6-point spread, but I also was like, Swag did the over, and I go, well, yeah,
that's a lock.
And it was pretty easily a lock, right? They got to 38-31.
Right, Russ, and then the terrible Seattle defense.
The last prime, I mean, I bet on Thursday last week under 49, and that started shaky. I'm like, oh my God, there's 21 points in 8 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then luckily they didn't hit it. I'm kind of with you there. I think the play is something other than the spread. Unless you're super confident in your feel here. If you think Kansas City getting a half point's a big deal, or you think Baltimore is going to win by a touchdown, wherever you're at, the spread for me, it's a little too unsettling because this smells like a field goal game. Counting out Mahomes seems like a huge mistake.
Right. I don't want to gamble against that guy.
And if you think they're going to win by a touchdown, Baltimore, you might as well go spread alternative, because if you go Baltimore winning by a touchdown, you're at plus 420 in the 7-12 alternative spread. Plus 420.
Now we're talking.
Those are better odds than what you're going to get at Baltimore minus 3.5.
Right, right.
So you go in there, but I think props are the way to go. And I haven't completely locked down where I want to go. The touchdown scores is always a fun one because choosing anybody's going to give you value. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, if he's the first to get a touchdown, it's plus 750.
You like those odds.
Mark Ingram, plus 900.
Yeah, I mean, a couple of those bets down, you're bound to hit on somebody.
You're looking at a lot of props tonight. I think that's the way to gamble this game, just because both these teams deserve all the respect in the world. Baltimore is built very well to play Kansas City. That's basically what they've been aiming to do. Mm-hmm. But betting against Patrick Mahomes, it's an unsettling feeling.
Yeah.
You know, it's like skydiving. Is it safe? Sure. But for that one in a blue moon, you know, you don't want it to railroad you. And that's the worst possible feeling. I did it against Russell Wilson. I don't like it.
Not a comfortable feeling late in the game when the other team has the ball.
I think I'm out on the spread of this damn game, and I think I'm going props.
Yeah, you go props. I want to be able to enjoy it because I'm hoping. There have been games, to your point from earlier, there have been games in the past that we have billed as this is going to be high scoring and exciting. And they don't live up to the hype. Probably the most recent example of that is the New England-LA Super Bowl. I remember McVay's offense, Tom Brady. Like, that was going to be this good, exciting back-and-forth game, and it ended up, 10-3 with New England scoring the only touchdown late in the fourth quarter. Like, that was all you had. So that has happened from time to time. But then you also get the flip. I remember the debate about should you hit the gamble on the over in the Kansas City-LA Monday night game, because it was like 60. It was a crazy over-under, and everybody's like, you can't do that. It's too high of an over-under.
It was a 50-40 game, wasn't it?
They ended up hitting like 100, I think, combined points. That was like the over was hit by the end of the second quarter, it felt like. So I'm hoping we get that kind of game, because these two quarterbacks, you have back-to-back MVPs going against each other.
Yeah.
Mahomes from 2 years ago, Lamar Jackson. I know Kansas City didn't look great last week, but they showed you the championship medal of coming back and beating the Chargers late, and the Baltimore... Baltimore just dominated both of their games. They absolutely blew out Cleveland in week one. And then last week doing the same thing to Houston, it never felt like that game was close. So I think these are the two best teams in the AFC. Hell, you can even make an argument they're probably the two best teams in the NFL, and just in terms of being complete, because it feels like a lot of other teams are good, but maybe there's a weakness there. It's hard to pinpoint a weakness on either one of these. And I just, whenever you get one of them, I'm hoping for a lot of points, and I'm hoping it lives up to the hype. Because we've had the last thing you want is like Kansas City to have an off night and Baltimore run away with it and win by 3 touchdowns. You just kind of, it's kind of boring. You want one coming down to the wire, back and forth, quarterbacks with a chance. And I don't know if you saw the Lewis Riddick interview, but he did a thing with Lamar Jackson ahead of the broadcast tonight. And he asked him, hey, you know, Patrick Mahomes, great quarterback. Do you ever like watch him on film and think I should use that? Or can I take that? Or, you know, do you guys steal from each other a little bit? And Lamar Jackson's answer was nah. I play my game.
Lamar, not a great interview.
I love not a great interview at all, but that answer made me laugh. Like, no, man, I'm Lamar Jackson. I'm going to do what Lamar Jackson does.
Deal says the Andy reverse jinx is in full effect. And
I'm sure it will be like 17-14. Like, what the hell, man?
Somebody else says KC minus two at 170, plus 170, a lock.
Lock.
See, that's the other part of this.
Yeah, you can get him KC minus two, plus 170.
I've read, I've listened. I feel like the overwhelming majority right now is on Baltimore at 3 to 3.5, depending on the line you got. Mm-hmm. And our belief here, much like a lot of other degenerates, the asses can be masses.
The masses can be asses.
And it's a little unsettling, again, to just casually all agree that Baltimore is going to win this game by 3.5 or more.
Right, like Kansas City's not the reigning defending Super Bowl champions.
So is that our play? We're taking the over?
I'm taking the over, man. I already placed my bet this morning. I got it at 54. I am locked in and ready to go.
If you go over, you're looking at...
It's minus 114. Not great odds, but...
Yeah, it's minus 114. You go the under. The under's boring to root for.
Nobody
wants
to root, especially in a game like this.
The only way I bet the under is if it's two teams I couldn't care less about, and it's two offenses that I don't always enjoy watching. Last Thursday's game was one of those instances. Yeah. Minshew can be fun. LaVisca Chenault's been flashy. Largely Miami-Jacksonville, no thanks. Give me the under. But with teams like this, I'm kind of with you in the thinking. I want to see... the back and forth offensively.
Right. It should be a great game, and I'm just hoping it lives up to the hype. By the way, if you want to go a little further than that, if you think it's going to be even higher scoring than 54, only four more points down on, you go from a minus 114 at 54.5 to a plus 135 at 58.5. So if you think there's one more touchdown in there on the board,
those 4 points are going to feel like a lot.
31-30 final score, you're hitting the over, you get it at plus 135. Not a bad idea, but I can't wait, man. I hope it lives up to the hype. Who do you think wins tonight? Let us know, 503-250-1080. We'll wrap up with some Monday Night Football stuff. Tonight, is there a champion crown in hockey? And we'll answer the poll questions. Close it up next on The Fam.
This is Dirt and Sprague, Gone 1080, The Fan. I say we can go where we want to, a place where they will
never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world, leave the real one far behind. Couple thoughts rolling in the fan text line. People on Jeffrey says, Chiefs all day, baby. I've been a fan since Montana. Let's go. You got to be fired up.
Ooh, we have to get into that tomorrow.
Dude, that was a crazy story.
Insane.
Insane story. Joe Montana, still clutch. Don't do Edwards-Hilaire first touchdown. Kansas City has yet to score in the first quarter. They've yet to score in the first quarter?
Yeah, remember the Houston game they struggled, and then the Charger game they sucked too.
Very true. Most of their points
they're
going to
break out of that, though. At some point, that stat's not going to be – that's going to be rendered useless.
They said, I got the scoreboard special. Chiefs plus 3.5 in the under of 54.5 for a plus 260. His score is 24-21. Another one says Ravens 12-10. If that happens, I'm going to be so pissed.
Oh, 12-10.
Yeah, and the other one, Lamar over on the rushing yards. I didn't see what that one was. I can pull up players, though, and see his rushing yards. 62.5 for Lamar Jackson is his rushing yards. 249 is the prop for passing yards.
Well, the good thing about him is even if they're getting blown out, losing, or winning, he's always running. Look at their playoff game.
For a 30-yard gain just like that.
Everybody looks at his playoff game last year, and we watched it. He clearly struggled throwing the football, but his stats ended up being pretty damn impressive if you just looked at the box score and you didn't have any context to the game.
Right, if you're just looking at the numbers at the end.
That's not a bad one.
Interesting. Okay, I like that one. A couple others. Tyreek Hill, 5.5 catches, 68.5 receiving yards is his over-under. Edwards-Hilaire, 64.5 rushing yards. So if you think Kansas City can get it going on the ground. Mahomes, by the way, his over-under for passing touchdowns, only 1.5. So you think he throws two touchdowns?
What's the odds if it's over?
Minus 220. Yeah. It's a heavy, heavy, heavy favorite. Yeah. I'm surprised that's not a little bit higher than that. And then 291 is his passing yards.
That may be speaking to what Baltimore is. A fast, athletic, hard-hitting team that is, their sole design is to get rid of Kansas City.
Very true. I think the winner of this game, too, easily becomes the favorite probably to go on to win the AFC this year, and that's a way overreaction in week three of the NFL season. But that's the way people run with stuff. You win a game early in the year, and you kind of put a crown on a team. But I'm just hoping to
Buffalo,
lose up tonight.
Huh?
No, Buffalo, I'm not going to quite put Buffalo in the same category until Josh Allen wins an MVP.
Wait, what if he doesn't win MVP, but, like, finishes second?
Would you take Josh Allen over Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes?
Not Mahomes. Lamar has absolutely deserved to be picked before Josh Allen. The way Josh Allen's playing this year, he's going to put himself in the conversation.
What's more reliable, Big 12 defense or Larry Scott? 79% of you said a Big 12 defense. Will Mike Leach go to the SEC title game? Ooh, that's a close one. Look at that, 50 to 49.
Or boy, 50, one win and it convinces people.
50% of the slight edge say no. And then does Carson Wentz have the yips or is he just bad? People answered Tim Couch.
Just not good.
It's not good, man.
Never been in the top 25 of Pro Football Focus's accuracy ratings. Only that's one season of his five seasons he's been in.
That's not good, man.
He's dead last right now, by the way.
Yeesh. They're still looking for a first win in Philly. Couldn't even beat the Bengals on Sunday. Hopefully it lives up to the hype, man. I'm excited. Monday Night Football tonight. If you missed any of the show, Let's Drop Tires podcast, 1080thefan.com is where you can find it. We'll tweet it out at Thurton Sprague and at 1080thefan as soon as we are out of here. Went to Mississippi State for the Daily Ticker and Chicago for the Daily Ticker as Bulldogs got a big win and the Bears replacing Mitchell Trubisky at quarterback.
Should Portland get Doc Rivers?
Ooh, let's start it. We'll bring in Doc Rivers and then we'll trade CJ for Victor Oladipo. What do you think? There's your offseason plan.
Who, you want Oladipo over CJ?
I don't know.
No.
But it'd be fun to talk about.
Candidates for the Clippers include Ty Lue and Jeff Van Gundy.
Yeah, I'd say Ty Lue is a pretty big favorite.
I kind of hope it's Jeff Van Gundy. That would be entertaining as hell.
Get him out of the broadcast booth.
Yeah, what the hell? All right, there you go. Good little show. Miss it. We'll talk to you tomorrow at noon. Number one's next, listening to 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.